Hello, I'm Alice Arnold. Welcome to the Musicals and Theatre Podcast. And this week we are backstage at the Royal Albert Hall just before Magic at the Musicals. And I got to chat to loads of the stars. I'm talking to Matt Henry in the green room of the Royal Albert Hall. Obviously, you're performing tonight. Now, if you're performing tonight, who's performing in kinky boots in the West End?
One of my understudies.
Right.
Yeah.
So, as you say, it feels very different doing it in the Albert Hall.
Yeah.
In that huge space, because it's quite intimate.
Yeah.
The theatre. I've seen the production. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, the Adelphi is such a beautiful kind of intimate space. And so you... As a singer, you kind of, you know, you feel safe because you know your voice is going to come back and you can hear that. But then going somewhere else, very new, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can't hear myself. But this is an amazing place to be singing in. I've always wanted to sing here. So.
Is this the first time that you've sung at the Albert Hall?
Yeah, this is the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I remember coming here as a student, actually, to see an artist called Nitin Sawhney.
And
he had a night here and... Yeah, it was fantastic. But, you know, just coming here as a student, but now kind of, you know, 10 years, 15 years on, you're like, wow, I'm performing here. It's a dream come true, really.
You wait till you see that full of people, because you've seen it sort of empty. But it's a fabulous venue. I think actually for a big venue, the Albert Hall is amazingly intimate. It does feel intimate when it's full of people.
Oh, really? Okay.
For the number of people that it holds.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I was here for the Oliviers, and that felt... But, you know, I was kind of in the front section, but it kind of felt very intimate. You know, you weren't kind of too far away from the artists, and you could hear them and see them. And I remember Amber Riley was singing. Was the song from Dreamcast? I can't remember. And I'm telling you, there you go.
That's the one.
And it just brought the whole house down. Yeah. And it was just... It was phenomenal. It was amazing.
Well, you won the Olivier, of course, last year when they were held at Covent Garden, weren't they?
So you
didn't get to perform there.
But what was nice about being back for the Oliviers this year was that there wasn't the pressure of performing and kind of being nominated. It's such a kind of... You know, you have just butterflies for the whole day because you're like, is it me? Is it me? Oh, I don't know. You know, so it was really nice just being invited back. And I felt like I was coming back to an old school and, you know, like you're seeing everyone or your old teachers.
But as a winner.
As a winner.
Which made it feel quite nice, probably.
Yeah, it was very nice. And it was just really lovely to kind of see everyone else's kind of reactions to them, you know, when they found out that they had won as well. Like, and I was presenting the award, and I got to present the award to Adam J. Bernard, who I'm good friends with, and he had won for his best supporting actor in a musical, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really lovely.
And of course, it's a really sensitive part that you play in Kinky Boots. I wonder how just singing one song tonight, how you'll relay the sort of whole story of the show, or how the song will be standing alone without the story of the show.
And that's why I pushed to do it in costume.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel that just me as Matt Henry standing there singing Hold Me In Your Heart doesn't resonate for me the story of the show, whereas me stood there as Lola, dressed as a woman, performing this song, speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And that's what the show's about. It's about being who you want to be and expressing yourself. And I guess, you know, when was the last time a drag queen... stood in the Albert Hall and performed a song so, you know, euphoric as this song is, and how emotional this it's such a huge torch song. You know, I meet so many people at stage door and they're like, oh my God, you were speaking to me, I was crying, this song means so much to me. You know, I'm having kind of, you know, a difficult time with my father, or I haven't seen, you know, we've been distant due to my sexuality, and you're just like, wow. Sometimes you don't realise that the job you're doing is healing
people.
Or
changing people's lives, I think, because people go and see a show like that, and I don't think they necessarily know what it's all going to be about. They know it's about someone who made some high heel boots and you know, up in the north and all of that. But if you're seeing that with your family and you are gay or trans or whatever, and you know, that can make a massive difference to people's lives, I think, to see such a positive affirmation of it on stage is wonderful for people.
No, definitely. And I think, you know, just the message itself that the show has, it resonates with not only kind of, you know, gay people, but I guess straight people as well, just kind of accept people for who they are, mm-hmm. and, you know, and if you change your mind, you can change the world, and it's just such a positive show.
It is. Yeah. It's wonderfully uplifting, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved it for that. Now, of course, you've not only been doing Kinky Boots, you've also been... You were touring with Cyndi Lauper. How was Cyndi Lauper? Tell us about her.
That was...
How was that?
That was last year. That was amazing. I had... before I started Kinky Boots, I'd kind of been working on my own album and original songs, writing with artists, and kind of just feeling creatively.
Oh, we've got a little bit of sound. You may have heard that. Somebody's warming up for the number.
It just was allowing me to be very creatively responsible for all the stuff I wanted to put out. And then I got Kinky Boots, and I spoke to Cyndi about it, and she was like, I'd love to have you come on tour and support me. And so, yeah, that kind of was amazing to be on tour with the boss, yeah. You know? So,
tell me about The Voice, because you were a finalist in The Voice.
Yeah.
Now, was that... You'd already done a fair amount of musical theatre before you were a finalist on The Voice?
Yes.
So did you use The Voice as a way to sort of, well, promote your career that was already presumably going pretty well?
Yeah.
But to lead it to another level?
I guess so. Do you know what? The Voice for me was kind of a way of just doing something different, because something wasn't happening in the realm that I was working in. I was working in musical theatre. I was kind of doing, you know, I was doing okay. I wasn't doing as good as kind of my friends were. And I kind of decided I want to just try something else. And so I did The Voice to kind of just be more creative, as I said, and that allowed me to then get into writing and writing my album. And then it kind of made me kind of appreciate theatre a bit more, because I kind of had got to a point where I wasn't getting the roles that I wanted to get, you know, and or they weren't available to me. There weren't that many black roles in the West End.
Do you think that's still the case?
Oh, my God. Really? Oh, my God, no. I sent an email this morning, actually, to a photographer called Matt Humphreys. He's a great photographer. He takes photos of, like, all the major events, beautiful black and white photos. And I sent an email to him this morning saying I would love to do a project with him, kind of pulling in all the black male leads that are now in the West End, because in my whole entirety of 15 years of working, it has never been this populated, and I think this is a fantastic thing. I really feel that theatre is moving in the right direction. Yeah, I mean, you've got myself, you've got the guys in Dreamgirls, you've got Hamilton coming, you've got Motown, you've still got Lion King, you've got Book of Mormon, you've got Sharon D. Clarke doing The Life over at Southwark Playhouse. There's just, you know, you've got Tyrone Huntley just about to start in Jesus Christ Superstar at the Park. This is amazing. When I started, there weren't that many black male role models, and I would just love to kind of get together with these guys and, you know, and just kind of encourage us to kind of support and encourage younger black males who want to come into musical theatre.
Yeah. I think certainly I noticed it at the Olivier Awards, there was a fantastic representation of diversity.
Of course.
Not just amongst the winners, but presenters and everybody that night.
You know?
And when you think about how the Oscars were couple of years ago, there were definite signs of improvement there.
I really feel that we've just in this year, the last two years, things have just kind of changed in such a kind of really amazing positive way, and I just feel that there are so many more now role models out there for people, you know, of ethnicity, who can kind of look up and go, oh my God, there are roles out there for me. Because when I started, that the only role that was kind of available to me was like Tyrone in Fame, and I was like, I can't.
One part.
You know, one part, 20,000 black guys.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of, you know, it was a little bit, I found it very kind of unfair, and I think that's why I kind of decided to do The Voice and move away from theatre, because I just was so frustrated with the fact that this was happening. And then it wasn't until I got a call about kind of Kinky Boots, because I didn't really know that the musical was going on Broadway, and I got told about it, and I looked up and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I remember the film, and you know, and And I went out to Broadway to watch the show, and I was just like, we have to bring this to London. It's my story as well, mm-hmm. you know. It's a story of kind of acceptance and letting go of kind of all the preconceived ideas that your parents have for you. Like, my mum wanted me to be a social worker, you know, my father was never around. And it's just kind of, this show just kind of pulls all those things together mm-hmm. for me, and I guess it's very personal. And I'm going to be a little bit upset when I have to step away, actually.
Yeah, and when do you step away?
In 9 weeks.
Do you?
Yeah. 9 weeks' Gosh. Time, I hang up my corset yeah. bra.
Right.
And six-inch red boot heels.
I don't
yeah.
know how you walk in those. But anyway, and tonight's going to be brilliant.
I know.
I can't wait to see you walk out and see the Albert Hall full of people, because you're going to love it. I know, and they're going to love you.
Thank you.
Can't wait for your performance. And thank you for coming in and chatting to me.
Thank you so much.
I've just been joined by Rachel Tucker on the sofa, and I went straight away. I remember you from I Do Anything, and you said...
And Sam Barks is here too.
Exactly. It's like a little I Do Anything reunion.
It is, and also the arranger.
People who didn't win it.
The girls that didn't win it are here.
And look how well you did.
Well, yeah. And Sam, I mean, it's... Well, that was an amazing platform. And actually, the musical arranger, Nigel Wright, who's arranging the orchestra, and helping, is here also, and he did I Do Anything also.
Oh, what, he's so doing the music.
He is indeed, yes.
Oh, so you got familiar ground.
A little
there.
Reunion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're Elphaba. You are Elphaba. You just are. You've done it do you know actually how many performances you've done it for?
Whilst I get my notepad and pen out, I have not. I think I've done it over 1,500. That's what I've been told.
Which
it is a lot, isn't it? I mean, it kind of doesn't. I mean, maybe it rolls off my tongue now, but it doesn't feel like a lot. I feel like I've done more than 1,500. That's what it feels like.
You think you've done more than...
I feel like I've done more. It feels like I've done 15,000. That's what it feels like.
Is that good or bad? I'm not sure.
It is what it is.
Now, do you ever get that thing, because you have done it a lot, that... suddenly you just forget what you're doing completely and go, what song is this?
Yes.
What am I doing?
Oh, absolutely.
Does that happen?
It did happen. It's happened a few times on stage, but I think that's just me getting older. And when I was pregnant with my son, I could blame that on baby brain.
Yeah.
But I think a bit of clarity when you're doing a project as long as I have done, I did Wicked, to have some holiday, to have some time off, headspace more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Vocally, physically, very demanding, however, some time away from doing what you're doing 8 times a week is vital. That's
you must have incredible technique, actually, because it is a huge singing role.
Well, it,
and to be able to do that without wrecking your voice is all based on technique.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a tough show, and I think no Elphaba comes out of the show without actually, you know, without not having a couple of little blips or time off, you know, vocally. I mean, it's the hazard of the job. It's part of our job, you know. So, but to stay on top of it, to maintain it, was so important for me. Like physiotherapy twice a week, vocal massages, water until
what's a vocal massage?
So we go to a physiotherapist who's technically qualified in relaxing, massaging your around your neck area, your lats, anything connected with the back of your head, your tongue, jaw can really tighten. Mm-hmm. So they loosen that off once a week for me, and I felt like I could sing Glinda.
My next question. Yeah. Would you? No, because it's not in your range.
It's not in my range. No. It's not in my range. Louise Dearman has done both.
Yes,
my
I know that.
My beautiful friend Louise
can
sing it all. So no, I'll leave that to Louise to do both.
Right. So you wouldn't just like a few nights where you didn't have to put green makeup on? Would you?
Because I'm not in the show anymore.
Right,
so I did the 10th anniversary, finished in January. And obviously, because it is such a demanding show, I believe the producers asked me to come along and represent them, as I have been, you know, their representative for, 7 years during mm-hmm. the show. So, but after a while, the green paint, you forget it's on. And I
hope you don't when you leave the theatre.
Well, not definitely not that. You would, you know, absolutely jump in the shower,
give
get it off.
A surprise. Yes, yes. In Joe Allen's, wouldn't it?
You know, yeah. So it was nice to have it. It was nice and therapeutic getting it put on, and it was part of my routine and my ritual, and I didn't mind it at all because I've got tough Irish skin. I could take it, so.
You've got beautiful Irish skin, and you're sitting here next. In case people don't know, Rich Tuckett is a stunning redhead, absolutely beautiful auburn hair, and
this
sort of
month.
Irish sparkly eyes. Oh, is it not real?
Oh, it's not real.
Is it not? It's very good. So you're not on the show at the moment,
that's
but
right.
You are performing tonight, and you're doing Defying Gravity.
Doing the big one from the show,
one,
yes. The money notes, yeah. The end of Act One.
And the audience are going to go mad.
I hope so. I mean, I've just had a rehearsal with that orchestra, and it's stunning. It's to have it, you know, the band in the Apollo in London are stunning, and it's a 25 piece band. However, singing it in front of a 60 piece orchestra is like a different level. You know, I felt like I could fly on the stage today. So that's extra special. Actually, it's a real treat.
And
this is my first time singing at the Royal Albert Hall.
It is your first time. It's a lot of people's first time singing
so
at the Albert
Hall. Super
excited
to be doing. My husband's going to be watching, and my agent, and it's very, very exciting to
be
here.
I think that's
tonight.
Why this evening is such fun, you see,
isn't
because
it?
Everyone's excited, because the audience are really excited,
and
but so are the performers, and I think you can really feel
you
that.
You can feel it. I can feel it out the back. Everybody's, you know, there's no pressure in such that.
It's great fun.
It is, and everybody is doing what they know and love, so it's not like it's new stuff. It's not like people are nervous about words, you know. These are current shows that people have done, and it's just nice time to celebrate what we do, and it's really lovely.
So tonight, are you in green, or are we doing a
no?
We're in just a lovely.
I'm just
frock.
In a lovely frock. Very nice to not be green and sing this. Tried getting a green frock, but that didn't happen.
Okay.
So we're in a lovely red one to complement my hair.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I can't wait to
thank
hear
you
it.
So much.
I'm really looking forward
thank
to it.
Thank you so
but
much.
Rachel Tucker, thank you
You're
so
very
much
welcome.
For coming to speak
thank
to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. My next guests from my podcast, sitting on the lovely leather sofa in front of me, are Dean Chisnell and Lynn Paul, and they are both currently in Blood Brothers. Mm-hmm. Playing Mrs. Johnston and the narrator.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
What are you singing tonight?
Tell Me It's Not True. Yeah. The final song.
The final
show,
dramatic.
Yes.
I shouldn't say, because whenever I say that to people who haven't seen the show, and then you think, oh, don't say that, because then you've given.
Well, it's the iconic number of the show. People would recognise
it
more than any other, really.
Of the show. And you've been touring the show for quite a while.
We had
now?
4 months. We just did finish 4 months. And we start again in August. So we do, it's 4 month slots, which is great.
Oh, okay. Well, and then you have a little rest.
Yep.
And then
rest.
With the same complete cast, or do we have some cast
pending.
Changes?
It's pending, I think, is the best way to put that. We don't know yet who's in and who's out and who's kept and who's gone. But
right. Now, obviously, Blood Brothers set in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we from? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Manchester.
Right.
But I live down in Berkshire now.
Okay.
And I'm from Lancashire, so we're both born and bred fairly close to where the show is set.
Right. So it's just a tweak to get the Liverpool accent.
Yeah.
Well, I don't do one.
Don't you?
No, because I wrote to Bill 20 years ago and asked him if he would give me an audition.
Yes.
And
how many years ago?
20 years ago. So I asked him if he would audition me. And
it took him 20 years to get back to you. Did it?
No, Lynn's been doing the
I know
show
he's
for
20
got
a years.
Bit. Doing 20 years to get back to you. I like it. But anyway, I wrote to him and I did say to him in the letter, I said, look, I can't do a Liverpudlian accent, but I will learn, I will try. And he said, no, you're a northerner, just stick with your own accent.
Okay. Right.
Mancunian it is. But everybody always says, you've got a great Liverpool accent.
I have to do the Liverpool accent.
They don't know. You do. You have to do the Liverpool accent for the narrator.
Apparently so, yeah.
Because you're kind of conducting the show, really.
Well, I'm sort of there
you?
In the background somewhere as the sort of moral compass of the show, if you like.
Do you play it sort of sinister? Or
yeah, when it's necessary.
Sinister.
It's quite a dark character. It's nice
it
to have
dark.
Something to get your teeth into like that.
So Lynn Paul, of course, originally, the New Seekers.
Yes.
Now, I'm surrounded by my producer, certain younger people, but I remember you really. I was a huge New Seekers fan.
Oh, were you?
So yeah, I was. So it's
oh,
really,
that's nice.
Really exciting to meet you.
Thank you.
From New Seekers, which do you prefer, New Seekers or being a musical theatre star?
Well, they're both so different.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very lucky to have done both. But I have to say, I do like the acting side of it. I'm going off the singing bit, but I like that. Are you?
Because, I mean, Blood Brothers, seriously, is a proper acting role, isn't it? You know, and, well, and some musical theatre parts are, you know, more about the singing. I think Mrs. Johnson is more about the acting than about about the singing.
I think to be able to change career at my age has been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll be eternally grateful to Ken Wrights for that. But the singing side of it gets a bit boring. But then when I was younger, of course, you know, travelling, it does. You know, in general, I just get bored with singing.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah, you know, I just think I wish I could go on and just say a few lines and come off.
But oh no, here comes an introduction. I can hear it. I'm going to have to sing.
Yes.
Oh, some
now
notes.
My voice is going to be tonight. Oh my goodness.
And Dean, you musical theatre. Mm-hmm. In your blood, done it for years.
Yeah, I've only ever done musical theatre. I'm very fortunate to do that and been working since.
What, not done a straight play ever?
Nope.
Really? Mm-hmm. Gosh.
I know. So
gosh, because usually people do mix it up a bit, don't they?
They do, but, you know, the business is so big yet so small, and the people who tend to employ you, and if they like you, hopefully they'll have you back, and your career just sort of works that way, doesn't it, rather than...
And Blood Brothers doesn't really have a big dancing element in it.
No.
Compared to most musicals.
No.
I think that's a good thing.
I do,
but
too.
But, yeah, do you think that's a good thing?
I do.
Or
I mean,
are you itching to flex your legs a bit?
Oh, God,
you know,
no. I don't want to flex my voice, so no, I certainly don't want to flex the legs. No.
Yeah. I think the difference is that Blood Brothers is a play with music.
Yes, absolutely.
Rather than a musical as you, we would now know it. And it's a very good, honest piece of theatre. That's why people love it so
much. Well, it is written by Willie Russell, who knows how
it
to write.
Can't go wrong,
No.
Can't go wrong.
Certainly knows how to write a piece of theatre. So you're back on the tour in August. Tonight you've got your performance at the Albert Hall. Well, now you've performed with the New Seekers at the Albert Hall, haven't you?
Yes, I've been here twice with the New Seekers and once with Boy George.
Oh.
Don't ask me why.
Oh, I think I must ask you why. Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, I was in the musical Taboo.
Oh, were you?
Yes, and he was doing a concert here, so he asked me if I'd come on and do one of the songs from the show.
So. Right. Oh, so you're an old hand with the Albert Hall thing.
Well, sort of, but it's
Dean,
still
lovely.
Dean,
have you done the Albert Hall before?
No, I'm a virgin.
Are you?
This is my first one. So.
Yeah, most people are. You can hear a hub outside the room, because there's lots of performers around here. This is like a reunion of everyone who's ever been in a show ever, really, isn't it, outside.
That's why we're happier in here.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just kidding.
But quite a lot of people are Albert Hall virgins, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all really excited about it, because you've got an amazing orchestra that you're going to be playing with.
Yes.
You've had your sound check, presumably, and you've heard them. And so that's really exciting, to be backed by a 60-piece orchestra.
Absolutely.
And that's something that doesn't happen in modern-day musical theatre either. So.
It doesn't, because it's too expensive, frankly. Yeah. You can't, and you certainly can't tour with a 60-piece orchestra.
It's wonderful to have such a fantastic orchestra behind us.
Yeah. Yeah, so that will be a thrill. Mm-hmm. And how did it feel going out there on the stage, Dean?
It was great. We've only been out there for 5 minutes, so we're all a little bit shocked at the brevity of it, but we're in and out, and when we do our thing tonight.
We actually said, can we do it again, please? Said, no, we haven't
got
any
time.
Oh, right, fine. Okay, that's it. You know, and we're used to doing it over and over and over again, so God only knows what it's going to sound like tonight.
It's going to sound absolutely brilliant.
Well, we hope so.
And you go back to the tour, and you do 4 months from August then.
Yes.
And then what, do you take Christmas off?
Yes.
And
finishes and then on is the 4th of December, I think, around about the 4th of December.
Right.
So we get Christmas off, which is nice.
Okay. And if you could pick your most ideal part, your favourite part ever in musical theatre, what would it be?
The Gypsy.
To play? Would it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not the young one.
No, did you see it? Did the production?
I did.
At the Savoy?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the end of that conversation, isn't it? I would play Phantom if I had the choice. That would be the iconic dream one for me. But moving on from Lynn's conversation, that was a very long pause.
Well, what can you say? I mean, not everybody's going to like everything, are they? And I'm a huge, huge fan of the film.
Right.
I mean, massively. I mean, I've watched it, I can't even tell you so many times. So and Imelda Staunton is a most incredible actress, but she was completely different to the way Rosalind Russell did it. And I prefer the film.
So you would like to do it more like the film version.
Yes.
And Phantom, you would just make it your own.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you can make it your own after 30 years, but it's such a wonderful piece of theatre. It'd be a great part. I'd love to do it.
Yeah, all right.
And he will.
Yeah. Well, after you finish this section, you're doing the next 4 months, and then are you stopping?
Yes, we think so, yeah. Right. We don't know.
This is Bill Kenwright suddenly says, that we've got another lined up.
Well, the tour will never end. It will always go every year. So.
I know. Well, I was really sad when it came out of the West End, actually.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to take some, and I went, oh.
Yeah, it's time it came back. I think it will come back as well. I really do believe it'll come back. It deserves another life in London.
It really is.
It's a one-off.
Yeah.
It really is very special.
It is. And I think if people haven't seen it, then they don't really know what we're talking about. But it is an amazing piece of theatre.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Well, thank you so much for coming to chat
to
us.
And
good luck tonight.
Thank you
very much. Can't wait to see it. Yes.
Cheers. Thank you.
So next, now Marisha Wallace is now singing in the background. We record. Yes, she started. You've just yes.
Like you
oh no, that's perfect. We like that. We like to keep this real.
Okay, good.
Like to keep it nice and relaxed. Nice. This is a very relaxed chat. How long have you been? Because you're a Broadway star.
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, you are a Broadway star. You have on Broadway done loads of things.
Yeah.
And you've won awards and you've been in. Now you've been in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah. Yes.
One of my favourite shows
of
all
time.
I love that show.
It's so funny.
It's just a brilliant show.
When I got the audition, I was like, what do I have to sing? And what about a frog? And what?
Yeah.
So it was crazy. But then when I got to do the show, I was like, this is the best thing.
What I love about Book of Mormon, which we don't have a song from tonight. No, we don't. Probably for language issues. But whilst it is incredibly rude, it is, I think, really charming.
It's
I
great.
I think it's just full of charm and love.
My mom
actually.
Is very religious and very, conservative.
Yeah.
So I was so nervous for her to come see the show. And then she came in D.C., of all places, at the Kennedy Center. And, like, Michelle Obama is in the box. And we're singing about, what it's about.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, this is, like, mortifying. And then I get off the stage and my mom is like, that was the best thing I've ever seen. And I was like, what? She was like, it's just a play. And she was like, and you get saved at the end. So, yeah, it's a great
show.
So
did you grow up, if your mother was very religious,
yes.
did you grow up singing in churches?
Yes, that's
you
where
did,
I
see.
Started.
It's such a great grounding, that,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful because I feel like I learned at a very young age how to perform in front of people under pressure, even though it's just church. It's still, like, kind of competitive, though.
Was it?
Yeah, because, like, everyone was, like, looking at you to be good, and, like, you had to just kind of, like, bring your A game at, like, 9 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to belt, like, for Jesus in the morning. So when I got to Broadway, I was like, oh, this is easy. I was like, what time is it? 8 p.m.? Okay, let's do it. You know?
I'm ready now.
I'm ready now. Try me at 9 a.m. I know. So, yeah, it's good.
So is this the first time you've been in London?
It's my first time.
It is?
Yeah. For my first time performing on the West End.
And how does that differ from Broadway? How the audiences differ?
You guys have a lot of different terms. So, like, places for us is beginners here. So it took me, like, a long time to be on time because I was
so
like,
you just went
what
there.
Is what are they talking about? Beginners? I was like, what is this, like a story?
Yeah,
like
that would be you.
I'm like, so
that
confused.
Would be you.
I know.
To be beginner. So
yeah.
Were you? Did they just open the curtain?
Yeah.
You're not there.
No, I would be there, but I was like, is it beginners? What is that? So it was like that, and then you call it the interval instead of intermission. What else is different? You do warm ups here. We don't do that on Broadway. So we have to, like.
What do you mean you don't do?
We don't do warm
up.
We do our own. So you just have to be there at half hour. Which is like, so the show's at 8, you have to be at 7:30, and then you just hit it. You just get ready, do it yourself.
Oh, so there was no sort of company feeling?
No,
of,
there's
of
no
everybody
company
warming up
come together.
Together.
No.
And
like on Broadway, like 5 minutes, like maybe at places, we'll like be on stage together and be like, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then the curtain's like,
and that's
go.
The first time you see each other.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's interesting.
I'd have thought it would be rigid on Broadway, that
no,
every, because it's so competitive
pretty,
there and high, you know,
yeah,
high end. I thought everybody would be.
We're very self-sufficient, so I think because everyone's such a pro, like at that level, it's very. I do feel like Broadway is very competitive because we just have more people. Like we have people coming from all over the world, let alone all over the country. So if you do make it on Broadway, like you're at the top of your field, so a lot of people are very professional and, you know, and we make it work. But also here, I feel like the talent is very good, and like
A theater is a theater. I don't feel like I'm any place different. What I do feel is different is the audience really loves it here. I feel like you guys really appreciate theater. Not that New York doesn't, but in a different way. Like, I just feel like every time we do the show, is so much love. Like, after the show's over, everyone's just, like, gushing and just like, oh, we love it. We love theater. And I love that about being here. It's great.
Well, who wouldn't love that?
Yeah.
And while you've been here, I presume you haven't really been able to see anything else, or have you?
Oh, I have. I saw Glass Menagerie. Oh, my God. I've seen a couple of
things. But anyway, you're getting out and about a bit. Yeah. And tonight, you're at the Albert Hall. And obviously, I'm going to say obviously, but this is the first time you've performed at the Albert Hall.
Oh,
I'm
my
assuming.
Gosh. It's crazy.
And what did you think of it when you walked out onto the stage for your soundcheck?
I was kind of blown away because I'm from a really small town. And so anytime I have these like moments in my life, it just reminds me of being back on that small little road that I grew up on and where nobody, mm-hmm. like my neighbors are like a mile away, you know, like, yeah. So it's like nobody even went to Broadway. Like, I never even saw a Broadway show when I was a kid. Like, so to be that
where
little girl on that stage, I was brought up in North Carolina.
Oh, were you?
Yeah,
okay.
In Goldsboro.
All right.
In a really, really small town. And so to be on that stage was just like, whoa, okay, I'm doing something good here.
Yeah, and you're singing the big number from Dreamgirls tonight.
And Dreamgirls has just been following me my whole life. I've sang these songs for talent shows and for, like, I don't know, competitions when I was a kid. Like, I was singing this music for a long time. I mean, which is kind of crazy. I was like, why is like a 6-year-old singing it? And I'm telling you, but okay. So, I know.
Referring to your mother or
something. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just going to sing it. So, yeah. So it's a pinnacle, definitely, in my life. So I'm really excited.
Yeah.
When the symphony plays behind you, it's like, whoa, it's like, okay, because you're never that close to the musicians when you do the show at night because they're underneath you.
Yeah.
So to have them like right behind you, and I do a lot of live concerts and things, so this is like where I thrive. Like, this is my jam. When I'm done with Broadway musical theater, I'm just gonna do concerts. That's all I want to do.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, yes. That's all I really want to do. I was like, that's great, just stand, sing, the band just goes. You know, it's wonderful. Okay.
And
so,
what is next for you? Do you know how much longer are you in
London for?
I'm
here till November as of now. And
quite a while. You've got quite a long stint. Yeah.
We still got a long way to go. Yeah. So, yeah.
But and then you'll get to have the summer in London, which is
wonderful.
Should be a lot
I know, because I got
think.
Here in wintertime. I was like, okay.
Not so good.
And everyone's like, just wait till summer. It's like 3 days. I'm like, they're like, there's going to be like 3 amazing days. I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for these. This 1 week where it's going to be great.
Oh,
you know.
Be fair, we had a good spring.
You did have a really good spring.
We did have a really good spring.
I've been shocked by the weather this whole time.
And the blossom was lovely and everything. Well, enjoy the summer in London.
Enjoy
the performance tonight. We can't wait to hear you.
And all your followers, please follow me.
But,
and all that stuff.
Are you a Twitter person?
I do it all. I'm
do
all
you?
About
are
social
you,
media.
Are you? Okay.
And like, I like to post.
Right, what's your Twitter handle?
It's @ Marisha Wallace.
I think we can get that.
I think you can figure that out.
I think
out.
We can get that. Right, well, I will follow you. I'm going to do it now.
Yeah, do it now.
I will.
I got to follow
will.
You. I'm going to follow. Where's my phone? It's somewhere.
Yeah.
It's
I will do it now,
here.
Though.
Yeah.
And lots of luck for tonight.
Thank
can't
you so much.
You
oh, I'm right. so excited.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and chatting.
See
you. I'm joined now by John Robbins and Cassie Compton, who are in The Wedding Singer, currently on tour.
That's right.
Yes. Where have you just come from?
Gosh, we were in Bradford last week. We were in Glasgow the week before. We've been up and down the country for 12 weeks, and we're going continually up and down the country until October.
And are you going always, as these tours do, up and down and up and down, rather than what would make logical sense, which is like doing places quite near each other next?
We have a few near each other next. Well, Nottingham, Manchester, Birmingham, and then we go to Liverpool, then Edinburgh.
Oh.
So we
John
have been
knows.
A little bit,
he's
we've been a little
away,
bit
yeah.
up and down, but
yeah.
actually we're not too bad.
And tell me about the show, because the film... It's it, the show is from the film, basically, based on the film?
Yes, yeah, it's very similar to the film, similar sort of plot. They've kind of condensed it a little bit. Some of the relationships have got closer. So the old lady in the film is now his grandmother in the stage show. So they've just condensed it a little bit. It's all original music except the two songs that Adam Sandler sings from the film. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, new music to go along
and
with
you're
the
playing
story.
The Adam Sandler part.
I do. I play Robbie Hart, yeah. Who's New Jersey's premier wedding singer.
You've got a look of him about you. I can see that casting. Yeah,
it's great fun. It's a great part. I love it.
And it's very American.
Oh yeah. It's all set in New Jersey. Yeah. And it is a very American piece. There's a scene at a bar mitzvah that's just laden with New Yorkie type gags.
Right.
But it's very relevant to a kind of general human state of discovering what love is and how you fit into that concept. Mm-hmm. But it's a lovely show and it's very energetic and we love doing it.
And you come from a musical theatre background.
I do,
trained
yeah. I have a degree, if you can believe that, in musical theatre.
Is there such a thing?
There is such
is
a
there?
Thing. I have a BA honours in musical theatre performance.
An honours degree.
And I get me. It's only a 2-1. Let's not get carried away.
Hey, that's okay.
It'll do.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And if you could choose your most, the role that you would want to do most in the world in the future, mm-hmm. what would it be?
Oh gosh, I mean, I really love doing new pieces of work. The strange thing about musical theatre is that for the majority of the time, you're recreating someone else's work. So whether it be Michael Ball, when you go and play Marius in Les Miserables, that's a 30-year-old recreation. And you're fitting into someone else's work. So when you do new work, that's really the holy grail. You get to put your own stamp on stuff and maybe create it around how you are. But there are always those iconic roles. I'd like to have a crack at Jean Valjean one day, and I'd like to have a crack at Judas one day. But you know, we'll, yeah. But I love creating new stuff. Generally.
And Cassie, what about you? What would you choose
I feel
to do?
The same, really. I think we've been very lucky on The Wedding Singer, though, because it's only been over to the UK once before, and that was coming up to 10 years ago. And because Nick Winston has now directed and choreographed our production, we've been allowed to create and find these characters for
ourselves. So it's a new
ourselves.
Production,
a new,
you're creating your part. Yeah.
So in that respect, this has been really lucky. But, you know, new work is always wonderful. But having played Eponine, for some bizarre reason, the only role in musical theatre that I would still really love to do would be to go back and play Fontaine.
Really?
We must have really loved our time there, John.
It's a lovely show.
Were you in it together?
No, actually, I was the year before John joined the cast, yeah.
All right, so how long did you do, Cassie?
I was there for a year.
And
I did a year in the West End and then a year on tour.
Right.
Yeah, okay. It's a show that, Les Miserables is just a wonderful show. You kind of can't get bored of it.
Yeah, it seems everybody... almost everybody I've spoken to today has been in it at some stage.
Well, if it runs for 32 years
yeah,
now...
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit like actors used to always be in the bill, only we don't have the bill anymore. But well, quite a lot of people have been in EastEnders, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of EastEnders people walking around doing that. But is musical theatre your thing, Cassie, or would you do television
kind
acting?
Kind of a bit of both. I've been very lucky to have some... I've had some lovely time sort of on screen, things like Call the Midwife and Mr. Selfridge, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So period dramas seem to be my thing if it's not musical theatre. And it's nice, I think it's nice now that we are starting to see this crossover happening that they have in the States, that there's not this kind of, if you're just musical theatre, then you're simply musical mm-hmm. theatre and vice versa. I think it's changing and it's nice to see, like you said, Declan, obviously my friend Danny Mack, who was on Hollyoaks, and mm-hmm. who were then... will go on to do and come back to musical theatre, and there is that crossover. Which
tell you my theory of this is that in the training now, everyone is trained to do everything.
Yes,
and I think in the old days you had drama school where people did acting, and if they could sing a bit, that was lucky, and they probably couldn't dance. And then you had the musical theatre lot. Now I think it's so competitive out there that everybody has to be able to do everything, and consequently you get a more varied career out of it, I think.
I agree. There used to be that thing about triple threat, which is mm-hmm. sing, dance and act. I would argue now the industry requires you to be a quadruple threat and add an instrument. So,
Good point. Do you play...
Yeah, I play a couple of instruments. I play the guitar in the show.
Because there's a lot of that now, people playing instruments live on show, which actually happened about 20 years ago. There were a lot of shows where people played live on stage. And Cassie, do you play?
I don't, sadly. I used
oh,
to.
Oh, you're only a triple threat.
I know, but well, actually, not quite even, really. See me dance. Sadly, I started playing the flute when I was younger, and then I realised that you can't sing and play the flute at
you
the same
can't.
Time.
You
and
can't.
And I invested all that time.
Yeah.
By which point, I was sort of just mainly singing. No, I really wish I'd carried on playing the piano. But
first experience at the Albert Hall for both of you?
No, it's not.
Oh.
I've been very fortunate to have sung here a couple of times. So
oh, old hand at the Albert Hall.
I mean, it's just stunning.
Oh,
and
nothing
it's
for you.
It's oh no, and it's every time. I'm sure in about an hour and a half's time, I'll be freaking out. It's just it's a beautiful, beautiful venue, and with this incredible orchestra. This is the first time that I will have sung here with how many?
Oh, 60 people. 60 in
yeah,
the orchestra.
A 60-piece orchestra.
Yeah,
that's a first. For
okay.
Me.
No, I've sung here a couple of times, but like Cassie says, it doesn't ever get old.
No. All right, so you'll be a bit nervous before
yeah.
you do tonight.
Are yeah, it's just exciting.
Are you I mean, at the beginning or the end of the show?
We're in the middle. I think we're about half an hour in.
Oh, that's quite a nice place to be because you haven't got to open it, and then you can just relax after the interval.
Absolutely wonderful.
And go and watch from the wings or whatever.
Yeah. Oh well, that's yeah. the thing. Like you said, you know, we've got a lot of friends here, and we want to support them. And,
yeah.
And it's so nice. It's such a lovely atmosphere to be in.
Yeah, there's a great buzz, and I think the after-show party... I don't know, is there an after-show party? If there probably is, and no one's told me about it. That's what will have happened. They're just quietly discussing it and not letting me hear. But if there is, I bet it will be the best after-show party ever.
Yeah, it'll be good fun.
It'll be a blast. Well, good luck, and thank you so much for coming in to speak to
me. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank right. you.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye. Rufus Hound, I'm a bit disappointed... Because you're on my sofa here, but you're not dressed as Toad.
No, I'm sorry about that.
Will you be later?
This is the rigours of theatre versus the more lacklustre efforts made on radio.
Right.
Is that because no one will be seeing this, I am allowed to wear clothes.
You're not
as opposed
to dress
to costume.
As Toadie.
No.
Mr. Toad, you're not.
Not tonight.
No. Oh, all right.
No, I'm
well,
no,
that's
I apologise.
No.
Listen, had it been contractually suggested, we'd have come fully
you
green.
But, but you're not.
No.
No.
Although I have, I'll be honest, we were asked to all wear suits. I'm going to wear a tweed ensemble to give
oh,
it a slight
rebel.
Air of the...
You rebel you.
An air of the country gent.
Yeah, okay. And go
to,
peep
you know,
peep
go,
or something.
Yeah,
poop, that's the one. Yes. So I have to explain to Rufus Hound, you are going to be performing in Wind in the Willows.
I am.
Which is opening quite soon.
Yes, June we are open.
Yeah.
And it's a big family musical, so we're doing it mainly for when people can come into London with their children and not worry about having to get them up for school again in the morning.
School holidays.
So,
yes.
Yeah, we run basically the full length of the school holidays.
At the
Palladium. Yes. So yes, it's a small theatre.
Yes,
many people haven't
space.
Heard of it.
Intimate
yes,
space.
It, yeah.
Yes.
Studio performance at the Palladium.
And is this the first time you've done a musical?
No, I've done... I did a musical version of the film Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Right.
At the Savoy. So that was my first toe in those particular waters.
Did you like it, putting your toe in there?
I loved singing with the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the songs that were written by David Yazbek. And those were the bits that I really took from it as having loved the most. And then... What that sort of did was say to people, he can at least hold a tune. See, mm-hmm. I'm not, I will tell you here and now, one of the world's great singers I am not.
Are you not?
But I can hold a tune and tell a story. And that's always been what I love in musical theatre. I'm sort of less worried if you're not, you know, Cynthia Eviro.
No, and I'm not sure that people expect Mr. Toad to be an operatic baritone.
I think, look, let's just say there are ways of playing everyone and the choices that you make are the thing. But to me, when I read this, it was much more that Toad is anarchy and Toad is much more sort of, you know, kind of crazed.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore having a slightly less disciplined singing style might serve that. And had they decided that they wanted Toad to be, you know, Bryn Terfel...
They wouldn't have cast
me.
No, they wouldn't. Do you see a lot of yourself in him? Toad, not Bryn.
Yes. Well, as a man in his mid-50s born in Wales, no. I'll be honest, there are definitely similarities. I think that's one of the things that when a part feels absolutely right, you often think, oh, yes, of course, because there's this and there's this and there's this. So Toad is definitely, you know, born of privilege and likes going fast and largely feels like rules shouldn't apply, and if they do, they don't really apply to him, mm-hmm. and would rather be invested in friends and fun than sort of earnest, serious discussion or taking things too seriously. So, yeah, I definitely feel a certain kinship. When I turned up for the audition, you know, with a crash helmet tucked under one arm because I just got off my motorbike, I did feel like I was walking in sort of, you know, already in costume.
Yeah, they thought exactly. They thought you'd come with the costume, which is always a bonus.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They think, oh, save a few bob on that.
Exactly. You'd have to get him a helmet or goggles.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, obviously, he's amphibian, so you would lose the moustache because all the other creatures have a furriness to them.
Yes.
And then we saw the set design and Toad Hall to give it a feeling of scope and majesty. Our set is beautiful. It's unbelievably tastefully designed. It feels like a real storybook. Mm-hmm. So it does kind of maintain that feeling of a well-loved, family favourite, a child's story. But to give Toad Hall the sense of scale, the effect is slightly that you're looking at it through a lens, so it bends round on either side as it gets smaller, meaning that the actual hall itself resembles a toad's face, and the portico over the door then looks, and it wasn't designed necessarily to do, but looked like an English handlebar moustache.
At least that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So that you can keep your moustache.
Well, I'll be honest, after you've painted it green every day for weeks on end, there's a part of you where you think, I think I'd rather not have this.
Now, this is written, Julian Fellowes has written this.
He blooming has as well.
Yes. So is it got, is like Downton?
Lord Fellowes.
Is it? Well, oh yes, I should have said Lord Fellowes. Is it Downton-y?
It's not got a lot of Downton to it.
No.
I'll be honest. I mean, the thing that undoubtedly Julian has is an ear for, you know, the language of the 20s. And, you know, the slang that would have been used. So when this book was written and the period it was set is, I think, something Julian feels incredibly at home with.
So it's quite true to the original. Oh, it's very true.
Very true to the book, yeah. Obviously, you can't get every side adventure in a show without it taking 9 hours, so we tend to stick just to the thrust of what happens to Mole and Ratty and Toad and Badger than too much of the other stuff, but it's you know, I think chapter three in the book is called Open Road, and I think our third number is called Open Road. It's, you know, clippity clop and poop poop.
What are you going to sing tonight?
The Amazing Mr. Toad. There's some real kind of in the full show, some very charming, gentle, stirring, emotional music. But for the wonders of Magic FM, we thought we'd kick it in the pants a bit more than that.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Now, stand-up comedy or musical theatre?
Well, at the moment, musical theatre. I haven't really done stand-up properly for about 5 years. I mean, the truth is, theatre. I love it. Mm-hmm. And having spent a bit of time doing telly, it's theatre. It's basically being in a room with actual people telling a story. That's the thing that I love.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to work for the RSC. I got to work for Trevor Nunn. I've worked for some brilliant theatricians.
But it's live interaction.
But it's that thing of people being in the room. I'm getting a bit obsessed at the moment about why screens might really not be very good for us. And seeing the world through screens and all of our information and our feelings about screens and how attached we are to them.
And social media.
Well, but that's it. But it's not just social media as a concept, because I think we are designed to be part of a pack. We're designed mentally. Our brains are built to be tribal and things like that. But it's the thing about the screens is that they're taking what we are and giving us more of what we love than we can handle. So everyone's just completely overloaded. And I think that taking it back to people in rooms, it's like, the screen has to go away now.
That's the message. Put your screens away and just enjoy something for what it... Which tonight, the screens will be away.
The screens
tonight,
will be away.
Everyone will be focused on the stage.
Yeah. Hugely well, and to. Look, this is a lovely opportunity to sing at the Royal Albert Hall. It's a lovely opportunity to stand in front of the good burgers of Magic FM's listenership and hopefully impress them with what we have to offer. But the real there is when you can take people on a journey, on an adventure. And so, yes, lovely to stand here and sing, but if you really want the real deal, the pure juice, get to the Palladium.
Yeah, we will do this summer, and I can't wait to see it myself.
I really hope so. We really love doing it. It's a lovely thing to be part of a cast and a company that really relishes doing something.
Yeah.
And more often than not, when you hear people promoting their thing, they have to tell you that so it doesn't sound like it's as awful and you know, hard going as it actually normally is. But genuinely, hand on heart, this is a group of people who love being in this show, who get to stand up every night and do the thing that they love to a room full of people who are focused and concentrating and, you know, and enjoying it. We had it out on tour, as I say, and people really loved it. So, yeah, getting a chance to do it on an even bigger stage with even more whiz and bang and fizz is a total joy.
And more poop poop. Thank you, Rufus.
No, thank you.
We're really grateful for you coming. I know you're almost about to go on stage, so we really appreciate you coming and chatting to us before you did.
Well, thank that's you. Not a problem. It was a treat. Thank nice
you.
To see you.
Thank you.
I'm Alice Arnold, and that was the Musicals and Theatre Podcast. If you enjoyed that, then you can hear me every Saturday and Sunday morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic, where I've lots of lovely, timeless, relaxing classics, musical numbers, and interviews.